From The Conversation, this is Politics with Michelle Grattan, a podcast where we hear from politicians and experts on the issues of the day.
Keryn Phelps has only been in Parliament since she won the Wentworth by-election late last year, but she's now got one big win under her belt. The bill facilitating medical transfers from Nauru and Manus has passed, and it's based on the proposal that Keryn Phelps originally put up. She joins us to talk about this outcome today. Keryn Phelps, did you think all through that this bill would make it, or did you have moments of real doubt?
In the early times of the discussions, it was very intense, and there were some people who were on board straight away, and there are others who really needed to be convinced that this would not affect national security. There were some people who were determined to get through the bill unchanged, but I think in the end we got the balance right. In getting the balance right, it meant that all parties to the negotiations, the discussions, had to come to a view that we could achieve a medical solution to the medical crisis without affecting border security.
It did seem at one stage that the Greens might hold out. Did you have fears about that?
I always believed that the Greens were at least right there with us in principle, and it was a matter of getting the wording right for the drafting of the legislation. And same with the refugee advocates, the people who have been fighting this cause for 5 years or more, and in some cases for a very much longer time than that. But in terms of the people who were supportive of this bill, in principle, it really was a remarkable exercise in collaboration.
In the negotiating process on Labor's amendments, how much was Bill Shorten personally involved?
We dealt with Shane Newman and Shane Newman's office substantially, but Bill Shorten was very much personally involved in the discussions, particularly in the last few days.
And is he a good negotiator? Well, all those union years.
Well, it wasn't so much about negotiation. It was about getting the wording right. I think we were all agreed on principle, and that's why they supported the original private members bill that was presented to the House. And when the bill went to the Senate under Tim Storer, it had already been amended. And when the Senate sent then a message back, that was when the amendments that were again negotiated with Labor, the Greens and the crossbenchers and the refugee advocates were put into words in a format that everyone was able to eventually agree with. And after some intense negotiations, a lot of long hours, a lot of drafting of legislation on people's laptops, and you know, my office here was negotiation central for many days, and we had a lot of people coming and going here for all the time that we were trying to make this happen.
To go to the substance and the consequences, there are now about 1,000 people, refugees and asylum seekers, on Manus and Nauru. How many do you think need urgent medical treatment right now?
I've been advised by people who are experts in this area that of the just over 1,000 people who are currently on Manus Island and Nauru, around 70 require urgent medical evacuation. And of those 70, they are serious enough that their condition warrants their cases to be considered as urgent. Of the other people, there are probably another couple of hundred who will require transfer, but not as urgently. So there'll be a triaging process that is already undertaken. It's a rigorous triaging process and assessment, and it will obviously require specialist assessment. I would like to think that the government will act in the spirit of this legislation that's been passed by Parliament. There are already processes that are available to government to transfer people who are critically ill, and I would like to think that the government will see a signal from the Parliament that people of Australia want refugees and people seeking asylum to be treated with a humanitarian approach.
When would you hope the 70 would be here by?
Well, depending on clinical need, obviously the most urgent cases should come without delay.
But are we talking about a month? I mean, the bill has to be get royal assent and so on.
Well, the processes are already in place for people to be transferred. We've had around 900 people over recent times come to Australia for medical transfers. Many of those have required extensive court processes. Some people have had their cases delayed in court for up to 5 years, and these are people who are already suffering, and the longer the delay for proper medical treatment, of course, the worse their condition becomes.
So you've talked about getting on towards 300 who need either urgent transfer or transfer in a relatively short time. You've mentioned the 900. Do you think this legislation will eventually see most of these people coming here, especially if there's a Labor government that could use it to get more people here?
It would be a shame on Australia if it took this legislation to get people off Manus Island and Nauru. We have a policy of indefinite confinement to these places without people having the right to education, to work, to freedom, to safety. And to think that these people had to get sick enough to be temporarily transferred to Australia for medical care to be able to get off Manus Island or Nauru is just disgraceful. What we need to do is to have a regional resettlement option for people who are currently on Manus Island and Nauru so that they don't have to become so sick that they have to be transferred to Australia to await resettlement somewhere else. What we need to do is to talk to the other countries in the region. I mean, Australia has been presented with a number of options. New Zealand is one option, and that hasn't been taken up, and that should be at least revisited, and that would deal with a number of cases.
Now, the Prime Minister has today foreshadowed the reopening of Christmas Island, but wouldn't most of these people be able to go into the community, these people who are transferred? Would you need Christmas Island to be reopened?
Well, the Prime Minister has made a political statement, and I think I'll stick to the medical statement about this being a humanitarian crisis that needed a medical solution. And of course, there is going to be politics involved in making sure that this actually happens, that the law is respected and enacted. But in terms of whether Christmas Island is opened or not, that's really a matter for the government to decide whether it's necessary or not. I mean, I think if you looked at reports in the Financial Review in the last week, you'd have to be very concerned about the accountability of expenditure for things like security on Manus Island and the quantums of money that don't appear to have a great deal of transparency about them.
Now, you talk about the politics. What's the implication of all this in your electorate of Wentworth? What sort of messages have you been getting from your constituents over the past while this has all been going on?
Well, during the Wentworth by-election, the treatment of refugees and people seeking asylum was a very strong issue amongst the people in Wentworth. It was one of the top three election issues, and I gave certain undertakings, and one of them was that I would do whatever I could to get Kids Off Nauru. Now, that Kids Off Nauru process for a grassroots community campaign started back in August. It was certainly highlighted by the Wentworth by-election campaign, and to the point where the Prime Minister needed to come out during the by-election campaign and say that all children would be off Nauru by Christmas. Well, that didn't quite happen, but it's almost there. There are only about four children remaining, and that is a good outcome of community activity. And the other thing was more humane treatment of people seeking asylum. And I made that undertaking, and that's what I've delivered.
Now, you're facing a tough battle to survive in your seat at the election. Once again, up against Dave Sharma, the Liberal candidate. He's seen as a strong candidate. How confident are you that this time next year, you'll still be the member for Wentworth?
There will be a number of factors at play in the Wentworth by-election, as there will be in the federal election generally. And I think we just have to wait and see what the people of Wentworth want. I mean, this is democracy. And, you know, the person that most people prefer to be their member, for whatever reason, whether it's based on party lines or based on individual factors, will be the outcome of the election.
And just finally, what would be your message to voters in Wentworth who voted for you but did so registering a protest against the Liberals and might now be tempted to go back home to their voting base?
Well, in my view, and certainly viewing it at close quarters, I don't think that this government has done anything to change the minds of voters from October last year. I think that the government, in fact, has continued to demonstrate that it is chaotic, that it is disorganised, that it is making a lot of policy decisions and announcements on the run. I mean, this announcement about reopening Christmas Island, maybe, maybe not, is yet another thought bubble.
And do you think you can deliver for those voters even if a parliament is not hung?
I think that obviously if it's a hung parliament, then there will be a balance of power situation again. And I do think that there is a strong place for people who are representative of their community, who represent the sensible centre, that there is a voice of reason that is not bound by party politics. And I think it's also important for people to recognise that if there is a change of government, that they are more likely to get greater focus on their issues at community level from a strong local independent than they are from somebody who must stick to party policies.
Karen Phelps, thank you for making time to talk to us in what's a very busy day for you today, and you're off to question time. That's all for our podcast for now. Thank you to my producer, Eliza Berlage. We'll be back with another interview soon.
Our theme music is by Lee Rosevere. You can find more podcasts from The Conversation on our website at theconversation.com.